During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tonight right here on 810, your evening will start at 6 o'clock with Big Monday with Danny Klingscale. That will roll right into Kansas pregame. And then at 8 o'clock, tip-off between Kansas and Kansas State. Immediately following the game, Kansas postgame right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas coming off a 79-68 victory over Texas A&M. Kansas State, they also got a win over the weekend. They were able to take care of business. They had a tougher time with Georgia, but Kansas State still gets the win over Georgia in the SEC Big 12 Challenge as they win against Georgia 56-51. So that sets up the showdown tonight in the Big 12. Kansas enters the game 17-4, 6-2 in the conference. K-State 16-5, 5-3 in the conference. The only thing that separates them is the game that Kansas won at Allen Fieldhouse against Kansas State. Now, we have Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star to talk about the game that will be heard tonight on WHB. Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
Doing great, Stephen. How about you?
Doing very well. Any surprise at all? See, I don't think it means much. I think some people are putting more stock in this Big 12 SEC Challenge because it's happening in the middle of the conference season, and teams have developed their identity now. But any surprise at all that the SEC had some success, a little more success than others may have thought in this challenge?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, you figured some of these top-level Big 12 teams could have done a little bit better, you know, maybe even just defending their home court, like a West Virginia. You know, West Virginia was a heavy favorite against Kentucky in that game. But again, I'll be the first to tell you, and I think most people looking at this from the outside should at least know this, that, you know, playing head-to-head games with different teams and with a bunch of the SEC schools sitting out and only being on one weekend, it's not the end-all, be-all when it comes to conference play and who's the best. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to kind of have a one-day event on ESPN and have everybody watch those two conferences, you know, duke it out for a day. But, yeah, I mean, I still think the Big 12 is pretty clearly the top conference in basketball, even if it didn't really show it this past weekend. But, again, back to conference play now, and this is what most teams and most schools feel is most important, and that includes Bill Self going for that record-breaking 14th straight Big 12 title. A big game tonight will go a long way towards determining whether that's going to happen or not.
All right, how do you think Kansas looked against Texas A&M?
You know, decent. The thing about Kansas, what was so crazy is it's just been so different this year because their games at Allen Fieldhouse, they haven't been blowing teams out lately. You know, early in the season, they did a great job. Teams like Oakland and Toledo and Texas Southern, I mean, kind of decent mid-majors, South Dakota State. I mean, those teams were getting boat raced by KU at home, and KU was just making every three, it seemed like, and running up and down the court and running those teams out of the gym. Really, you know, ever since then, gosh, every game has been close at home. You know, you look at Iowa State was a game that KU was a 16-point favorite, and those two teams were tied late in the second half. You know, you guys just mentioned the K-State game where K-State was up one late against Kansas, and KU was able to hold on for a victory there. And then you talk about the two losses at home. You know, Arizona State, KU kind of got taken out of its game, and then Texas Tech, too, another 12-point victory for an opponent against KU. So you kind of go down the schedule, and KU really hadn't had a quote, comfortable win against a team in Allen Fieldhouse in a long time, at least not in Big 12 play. And so it still hasn't happened since A&M is not a Big 12 opponent anymore. But for KU to kind of get a lead, extend it, not be completely challenged in the second half, but still not, you know, perform to the level where they could get a guy like Devontae Graham some rest. I mean, that's probably a little bit disappointing, but still, an 11-point victory, that's fine. But the most important game, or the more important game, is tonight, as they go to Manhattan and take on the Wildcats at Big Monday.
Well, you mentioned not getting any rest for Devontae Graham, which I know you've written about 40 minutes again, and he is coming off of back-to-back poor offensive games by his standards. Do you think those two things are related?
It's hard to not it's hard to say that they're not at this point. And again, two games is a small sample size, and it's not something that we can probably put all our eggs in that basket and say that's the case moving forward. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's got to have something to do with it. You know, you look late in the Oklahoma game, especially more shot there, they could have had a better chance to win it and, you know, kind of extend that lead even before the whole polka dope thing happened. But it seems to me like Devontae really is losing his legs, especially late. And so he's not going to complain. He's not going to say anything about it. He's going to say he's good to go. And I will say KU is taking this rest thing seriously. You know, if you talk about the NBA and kind of what those NBA teams have done to get teams rest, mostly the research has just been that back-to-back games are really bad. So last week in practice, Bill Self had Devontae Graham take off both Wednesday and Thursday in practice, you know, not doing anything besides shooting, basically, to kind of have him save his legs to get ready for that game Saturday. So they are doing different things to try to rest him, but at the same point, it feels like there still could be kind of like a compromise here. You know, you could still rest him those 2 days and still get him a minute or two in the first half, as painful as it might be, just so that you don't have a guy that is not doing anything for you down the stretch. And maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, not do anything, but a guy that is clearly winded and is clearly not himself at the end of games. As we know, you know, KU, he's been so good at the end of close games, you might want to have a guy that just has a little bit more boost, has a little bit more in his legs down the stretch. So, yeah, they're doing some things to try to rest Devontae Graham in the off days, but I wouldn't be surprised at some point if they just kind of suck it up and try to get him a minute or two in the first half, no matter what, just so he's playing 38 minutes instead of 40. It seems like that can make a big difference.
Okay, on the flip side, K-State's Barry Brown played 40 minutes on Saturday against Georgia, and I can't remember how many minutes it was, but it was something like the last five-plus minutes of the game, and maybe much longer than that. Bruce Weber didn't make a single sub in the K-State game, and Dean Wade played 38 minutes. Snead played 37 minutes. Both these teams are relying heavily on their five starters in these games. So is it a wash? I mean, does the advantage go to either team when there is such a quick turnaround, when both teams are relying on their starters so much?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's probably a wash in the situation, except for maybe the accumulation effect. And like you said, K-State did push its players in Saturday's game, and they have relied on those players, but nobody's played 40 minutes four games in a row. You know, and that's kind of what Devontae Graham faces. And even longer term, when you're looking at him as a point guard, you know, this is something that has sort of followed Bill Self around. If you look at, you know, how they've won their conference titles, but yet sometimes it doesn't seem like they have played their best in the most important games in March in the NCAA tournament, is, you know, are you wearing guys down unnecessarily early in the season, and is that to your detriment late? And again, I don't know that that's the correct answer. You're trying to win every game. I understand what Bill Self is doing. I mean, this is not stupid that he's trying to win games or win Big 12 games. But again, kind of just thinking bigger picture, it makes you wonder. I mean, 40 minutes, four games in a row, I mean, that's pretty crazy. That's a lot of minutes, and that's a lot of strain to put on a guy. And we know how important Devontae Graham is for this team. I mean, I think if you're looking at it, you're trying to get the best Devontae Graham. If that means that you sit him 2 or 3 minutes in the first half and your team suffers or gives up a couple points, but that means that he can be better both in March and then at the end of games, I mean, you got to look big picture here. I mean, you got to find out what is going to get him the closest to his ceiling, whether that's painful in the short term or not. So, yeah, I guess to your main point, I think these big Monday games are difficult. They're difficult for teams to kind of navigate. I would be very surprised, honestly, if KU and K-State did not start preparing for each other last week, you know, when the Big 12 SEC challenge was getting ready, because obviously those games are not as important as this game coming up tonight. So I think it is a little bit of a watch there, but at the same time, I think KU's got to figure out a way, and Bill Self, more specifically, has got to find out a way to get the better version of Devontae Graham out, because if wearing him into the ground 40 minutes a game continues to get this type of production for KU, then it seems like something needs to change.
So outside of that, any other adjustments that you expect to see from Bill Self and from Kansas in this rematch?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first matchup, well, let's start with this. K-State's been great offensively in Big 12 play. I mean, you guys talked about Dean Wade, and, man, he's a tough matchup. He's a tough matchup for Kansas. He's a tough matchup for anybody. And then Jara had a huge game in Allen Fieldhouse. But, you know, the second game of this, it's kind of weird. If you look at these two teams, Bill Self and Bruce Weber both have teams that have better offenses this year than defense. Yet both guys are definitely considered defensive-minded coaches. And so what you often see in these rematches is the scouting report defense gets much better. I mean, those guys, any weaknesses or any plays that work the first time, they don't work the second time because these two coaches kind of drill it into their guys' heads. Hey, this is what they do. This is what is not going to be allowed. So I could see a lower scoring game tonight, but for KU in particular, I think K-State shot 56% from two-point range against Kansas. And again, if you go back through the years, that's something that doesn't happen under Bill Self and at KU, that they don't allow teams to get easy shots inside. And so one thing that's been a better development for them lately is that Udoka Azubuike has been more of a rim protector and better inside in those sort of situations. So if he can kind of do that and avoid foul trouble, which is kind of the question every single night for him, then you could see KU defending the interior better, and then I just expect them to defend what we, quote, call actions. You know, K-State's actions shouldn't go as well this game against KU just because Bill Self's seen them all now, and he should have seemed better prepared than he did in the first matchup. But again, KU got the most important part of that first matchup, which was winning that game by one and getting that victory at Allen Fieldhouse.
The most important adjustment, though, has Doak learned not to make eye contact with anyone on the other team at any point in the game?
Well, that's going to be important because, yeah, these unnecessary fouls, especially in a team like K-State, they can draw a bunch of fouls, and it's going to put pressure on you, and it's going to, you know, pull you to the outside and get you in uncomfortable land. He can't be drawing these. He can't be getting these technical fouls. KU needs him in the game. And so, yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of both sides to this. I think against West Virginia, if we're honest with ourselves and if we got into Bill Self's honest mind, I don't think he hated that technical from Udoka. I mean, he's wanted this guy to show emotion. He's wanted him to be a defensive stopper and to kind of get after people and be an intimidator. But the one, you know, the one against A&M was just kind of silly. I mean, that one, now you're starting to be like, okay, Doak, reel it in. You know, you can't be getting these fouls every single game. And so, yeah, that'll be important tonight, but it'll definitely be emotional. We all know that.
But real what in? I mean, he looked at a guy for half a second. I mean, what the tee that went up against Jada, the two tees against Doak. I mean, what? Where are we drawing the line here? You can't look at somebody. You can sit. What are you? You're allowed to wag your finger, but not at some. I mean, I'm like, what are we legislating against right now?
Well, none of us are legislating against anything. It's the officials and what they do. You know, listen, I thought the one at West Virginia for Doak was not as bad as the one against A&M. That one, I'm sorry. To me, that one was a technical. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I got a rad view of it or just didn't see the replay right. But it seemed like, and maybe I'm putting thoughts into his head, it seemed like he could have dunked it without straddling the guy. And he definitely could have dunked it without straddling the guy and putting his chin towards his face. And he definitely could have dunked it without straddling the guy, putting the chin toward him, and then saying something to him while he was below him on the ground right near his crotch. So, again, I don't know. Well, I agree with you that a lot of this stuff may be, hey, guys should be emotional, should be allowed to have fun, all those sorts of things. But when you're shoving it at an opponent, I think that might be kind of where the line is drawn. And if I'm being honest, I would have given him a technical on that one, too.
Okay, we saw two different things. I mean, the guy flopped and was laying right under the basket. So when he dunks it, his option to me either is to land on top of the guy or to land and straddle him. And he looked at him. I don't believe he said anything. He looked at him for like a half a second, and you could tell as soon as he did, he snapped himself out of it. Like, okay, I can't do that, and turned. I mean, like, I watch, and I know it's a different league. It's the NBA, but I watched Joel Embiid dunk on Westbrook yesterday and stare him down for like halfway back down the court, and life seemed to go on. I don't know, like, nobody, there were, like, I don't think that Westbrook went on to win the game and stare him down. I didn't feel like anybody like has to go to counseling after this. I don't know, man. It just seems like with all these technicals.
You apparently didn't see the end of the game when he was
staring down him.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was fantastic.
Running out the clock, staring him down.
I loved it. Was anybody hurt by any of this?
No.
I don't know. I'm just, what are we getting so, why are we like awarding points in basketball games because someone looked at someone? Like, we're not even talking about like saying something to somebody.
Jesse, your witness.
Well, I will say this. I think that a lot of this might be a discussion because the NFL has kind of gone the opposite way from this. And now there's all these post-game, these celebrations after touchdowns, and everybody loves them. You know what I mean? Like, nobody feels like they're hurt by, you know, big guys acting like bowling pins and falling down or whatever the case may be. You know, it's supposed to be fun. And so, you know, taunting is a little bit different. You know, the post game and the touchdown celebrations are a little bit different than taunting. So I get it. But, you know, at the same time, I'm sure that part of this is just the college thing that's involved with it. And we know, I mean, just remember a couple months ago, the Baker Mayfield coin toss, sportsmanship, all these sorts of things. I mean, college is kind of supposed to represent something different, whether we want to believe that or not. So I'm not completely against you, Nate, here. I'm not going to sit here in the court of law since my witness now and say right. that I'm against fun or taunting. But I will say that I'll just say I thought Udoka deserved that one much more. And like you said, he snapped out of it after a second. That also means he was into it for a second. And for a second, he wanted to be sure that Tyler Davis knew that he was above him, straddling him, and over the top of him. So I didn't have as much of a problem with that one, but I can see your point for sure.
Well, the one thing we will take away from this is that you are absolutely against Nate. And so, you know what? And we're on board for it. We're here enough. For it. We have no problem with it.
We like that.
Really. So.
I thought it was I was disappointed that Doak didn't get to shoot some free throws at some point in the game because there was so much talk about how much time he spent on it. Supposedly he hit 9 free throws in a row during warm-ups.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything compared to a game. It has to be a little frustrating for him that he didn't get a chance to go out there and actually shoot a couple free throws at some point during the game.
Yeah, but he'll get a chance tonight for sure. you know, K-State's a little bit foul happy inside, and they don't really have a guy to match up with him. So he'll get the opportunity. And I was watching him in warm-ups. It does look different. I mean, you guys saw the form that he had earlier this year, and you can go back to some of those replays. It's almost like he was shooting it almost left-handed and was barely looking at the rim and the weird follow-through to the side. But, I mean, this became a huge priority, obviously, after the Oklahoma game, and Bill Self took some time to shoot with him. And, you know, the form looks better. It really does. So I'm interested to see it. Everybody's interested to see kind of how he does in this situation. But I think this was the easiest short-term answer, is that, hey, you didn't have a bunch of time, you know, to work with him or to get Rick Barry in or whatever the case may be. I mean, the basic thing was, hey, this became a priority, and Bill Self and Curtis Townsend know how to overhand shoot. So for him to get in the gym and kind of work on that as much as he did, I think could be beneficial. And they don't need him to be an 80% free throw shooter. They need him to shoot about 60% and just not be a total loss when he gets to the line, especially in late-game scenarios. But, again, that's going to continue to be a story until it's not a story. So we'll all be fascinated when Doak steps up to the line, both tonight and the rest of the season.
So how do you see this game playing out tonight?
Well, like I said, I think both teams have really good offenses, and I think both teams you won't see as much from the offenses just because of Bruce Weber and Bill Self and kind of the reputations they've had defensively, and especially in the rematches of these games, kind of shutting down both teams' actions a little bit better than previous instances. But it's really difficult for me to pick against KU in close game scenarios. I know they lost that game in Oklahoma, but I had actually picked that game just because I thought Trae Young going against the 40-minute Devontae Graham could be difficult down the stretch, and that's kind of what played out in that final three-pointer, is that, you know, KU screwed up a defensive switch and then was able to Oklahoma was able to get free for a three-pointer. So KU has had the reputation of winning close games in the recent past. We obviously know that, and K-State sometimes has not had that reputation, as we've seen, and as also Sam Ellinger, I know you just had him on there, as he wrote about in that last game in Lawrence. So I've got KU 70-66 in this game. I think it'll be a great one, fun atmosphere. KU 3s against K-State's 2s, that sort of thing, but I think the Jayhawks win another close one. If the Jayhawks do that, then they'll be in good shape once again when it comes to the league race.
Jesse, thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
That is Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. How long has he been coming on the show now?
Oh, for a while now. At least a couple years,
right?
Yeah, at least a couple of years.
You know, Jake put it out there for us.
I did.
It was a goal a couple of years ago. We finally did it. We finally able to convince Jesse to say the word crotch on the show. So now he's one of us. Now he's part of the club. So I don't know. I look at you. You seemed like they got a reaction out of you when you heard crotch.
That's right.
Oh, he put a big. He looked at me like,
hey, what's going on? Hey,
Jake laughed at the word crotch.
Jake's really reacting to, to crotch.
He looked right at me. I think that's. Right. I mean, it's the biggest smile you've given me in a while, man. It's like, hey, he just said crotch.
I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Well,
that's just me you know.
Why did you do? Did you do that to someone when you played basketball?
Angering? No, I've never dunked on anybody in my entire life.
I mean, did you? You didn't try to like rub your crotch on the opposition to get him out of the game or whatever.
No, I've never tried that.
You know, hey, whatever you ask him,
right.
It's about the mental edge. I mean, he's the one that used to, what was it, to the
check the oil?
Check the oil?
Yeah, well, check the oil.
You know?
A little, hey, what for there?
Well, how's your father?
I mean, he just, look, he wasn't born into the Hall of Fame at St. Thomas Aquinas. He had to work his way there.
Earned
that's
his
part
way
of
into it.
It.
Earned
know,
it.
It's part of it. A lot of great players.
Probe his way into it.
Exactly. it's about who can find the necessary mental edge.
So, well,
my butt hurts.
That was a different era. That was before, you know, these kids these days. It's different thing. Kids aren't used to eye contact anymore.
Hey, what happened?
It's
you know what that's
they're staring at their phones all the time. I got to teach my kids to look people in the eye when they talk to them. So I can understand why refs need to tee up looking at someone now, because that can make a kid very uncomfortable. If you look them right in the eyes, it can make them very uncomfortable. So we got to tee them up. We got to make sure that's a technical foul. Don't say anything. Don't look at anyone. After you do something good on a basketball court, you look down and text on your phone and go back to the other end of the court.
Sarcasm.
That's what we got to do this.
Boy, that reminds me. I read that. I don't know who you were pissed off at. Like the last couple of weeks on Twitter, I don't know what his deal is, but he's venting is what it is. I don't know why. Yeah, you're letting people, you've been fighting with people, you're letting people have it. I see this tweet yesterday. I didn't know what you were talking about or anything, but you left because I didn't get that deep into it. But got to remember, folks, this is a different generation. These kids spend all days looking at their phones. Eye contact makes them uncomfortable. Got to punish any eye contact so they learn, so they can learn. I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? Stumble upon them. Okay,
that was definitely not the tone of voice with which I texted.
But it just, you know, but that's Twitter.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. What
sounds
that
like
tone of voices. Yeah,
sounds, and get off my damn lawn too while you're at it.
Well, that's
I don't know what's going on.
I'm mocking that attitude because Dope got teed up. First of all, we tee up Cartier Jada because he said get that blank out of here. Apparently, because God knows if you start saying that in basketball games, all hell's going to break loose, right? Can you imagine if you were playing pickup basketball back in high school, Jake, and one of your buddies blocked your shot and said that to you?
I'd punch him.
You probably have to. Yeah, you probably have a fist fight right there.
Fist to cuff right there.
You just said, get that out of here?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, that's a hypothetical.
Right.
Who's going to be blocking my shot?
Right, okay. Well, Jake, you would never have said that to anybody if you blocked someone's shot back in high school.
No,
right?
that'd be rude.
Unsportsmanlike.
Very much unsportsmanlike.
Man. You got to tee that up.
I was the sportsman of the group.
And so then Doak, you know, in the game on Saturday, he's backing a guy down who's like 290 pounds or whatever. The guy flops, so he's laying under the basket.
Uh-huh.
Doak dunks and lands over him. So he straddles him because otherwise the other option was to land on top of him.
Well, then he should learn.
And he looked at him.
Next time, just land on the guy.
And the best part was the color commentator said, you can't look down at someone demonstratively.
Well, don't do that.
You look at someone. We got to stop. We got to put an end to this.
This guy's getting salty over here.
You look at somebody.
Well, I don't think that you, like,
you know. What happens?
Are we talking
next?
About in basketball or in life? In life, like, I don't think you should go and straddle somebody and then stare at them.
I mean, disagree.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm pretty open-minded about that, but I think if you walk up to someone and straddle them and just stare them down, like, you know what? You're asking for some problems.
That's true.
Hey, what happened? You know,
that's a good point.
That's a good point.
It's a different.
We might have an issue there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how did you end up straddling them.
You know, it's all.
My butt hurts.
Right. Like, why? Why
more
we,
information
you know?
On this.
If somehow someone was laying on the ground and you were up in the air and you were about to land on them.
Well, just land on them.
Just land on them.
Go.
Both
land
feet
on
right
that's
in the crotch.
That's what you get for being on the floor.
Right. Don't
get
lay
your
down.
Ass up. Get your ass
up. Well, there's got to be something. I mean, there's going to be something going on. There's going to be technicals. There's going to be something happening.
Boy. Everybody's going to be on edge tonight. Bill Self said last year that the crowd at Bramlage was the reason KU won.
All right. The Sunflower Showdown.
Wait a minute. That's counterintuitive.
I know.
They won because of the case.
Yeah,
right.
Said a Jazz. His team got extra juice from it.
Mm. That's not how
I'd like some extra
home
juice.
Home crowd wants things to work out.
Right now, I'm seeing Power Cat Tim Fitzgerald arguing with K-State fans about whether or not they should do the blank KU chant at the game tonight.
Well, do you think they should?
It's not my place to say.
I would say probably not. Foul language around here is not acceptable.
Right.
We can take that. As long as they don't look at anybody while they're doing it.
What if they straddle someone and all of a sudden start that chant?
Well,
boy, that
takes
get interesting. Wait a minute.
Hello.
The K-State crowd now straddling each other and they're chanting.
What?
That just gets disgusting. You're out there hitting on the same guy over and over again.
Right.
Hello.
The point is, they can chant what they want. Just don't look at anyone. If you stare at anyone, then we got problems.
That friend for show about.
How many technicals will be called tonight?
I'm going to say none.
None?
Yeah.
Jake?
One.
Yeah, there's got to be something's got to happen.
This could be like a super controversial one.
Yeah, it'll probably be Bruce Weber outside of the coaching box.
All I want is this. Like Sam was asking me. Sam, who do you think is going to win? What do you think? You know, yeah. And I try to think like what's best for the show tomorrow. Here's what I want. I need something controversial. To end this game. Just something like that.
Is that what you need?
I just need for the show.
Sure,
be good.
Sure.
Think about the different controversies, and you know, like the travel that wasn't called.
I feel like
Fran, something leading to, I don't know, anything.
Somehow I just feel like K-State is going to hit what should be the game-winning shot, but it's going to get called off because of a travel. Like that just...
And it wasn't a travel.
No, it wasn't a travel.
Perfectly clean play.
Dean Wade only took two steps.
Dean Wade's got an open shot under the basket. He just is hacked and there's no call.
Yeah. Phantom travel call.
He's bleeding from his arm.
Yeah.
Oh, no call there. And Kansas wins.
Bruce Weber's going to be out on the court and trip a player, you know.
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come angry, you come.
Nobody asked for that clip. Oh, yeah, I watched the Joel Embiid dunk on Russell Westbrook, and then Westbrook dribbling the ball to run the clock out and staring at Embiid. I watched that whole sequence seven or eight times yesterday.
And then waving at him.
Waving goodbye.
That has no place in the college game.
Because that's fantastic.
Has no place
because
in the college
Embiid
game.
Had the dunk.
Embiid stare at him as he's running.
Right. And talked and everything else. But then Westbrook got the win and got the final say there.
Yeah.
That was marvelous.
They looked at each other. I can't believe they didn't get any tees.
Inappropriate.
That'd be a tech, man.
Before we go to break, could we hear from Cartier Dejara after the win against Georgia, previewing the KU game?
I'm going to say no.
Why?
Because there's something that you're not telling us.
No,
I really want to hear
this. It's beneficial for everybody.
Okay.
Beneficial.
I really want to hear this.
It's not a big deal.
Oh.
It's really not.
I'm divorcing myself from this conversation, so you guys decide.
I haven't heard this. I don't know what this is about to be, but Jake looks very excited about it.
We coming into a Monday game with, you know, a four-game win streak. You know, so, you know, I feel like, you know, we on a kind of a high, but still, you know, try to, you know, stay humble and pride. I'm not going to say humble. Stay humble and, you know, just stay focused and, you know, respect your opponent because we know how.
There he is. There.
Stay humble.
Yeah, stay humble. Yeah. That's right.
I heard that earlier.
My 5-year-old daughter on Saturday night told me to sit down and be humble.
Yes.
Sit down. Be humble.
You know what? You know where she got that? Me.
Big J.
I said, oh.
You know what? I did.
You damn right you did.
I sat down.
Ophelia tells you to sit down and be humble. What do you do?
I sat down. I don't know about the humble part, but I sat down.
Oh, there you go. Right. Sorry, I just wanted to.
Kendrick Lamar was one of the big winners last night at the Grammys. If anyone watched it, Bruno Mars also dominated. Neither one of you guys watched?
I watched parts of it.
Stay humble. Stay humble.
Right.
Stay humble. Stay humble.
Best rap performance was Humble by Kendrick Lamar.
Stay humble.
He also won for loyalty with Rihanna. Best rap song was Humble. Best rap album was Damn. So. And then Bruno Mars won everything else. Ed Sheeran won too.
He's
My
good.
My daughters were happy. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts from Nate and Jake about the Sunflower Showdown. They're feeling very good going into this game tonight. Kansas loses, they'll be feeling very bad for the show tomorrow.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
Back after this on WHB.
If I kill an arm, it won't be the alcohol. I'm the realest arm after all. Tell them be humble.
Stay humble. And you
sit down.
Stay humble.
Sit down.
Stay humble.
Tell them sit down. Be humble. Sit down.